You take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 57. You know, attitude is everything. You know, if you have a poor attitude at work, you won't be a very good worker. You won't do a very good job. You'll just say that that's good enough, or let somebody else do it. If you have a good attitude, you might be looked up. You might be the employee of the month. If you had a good attitude toward your parents, kids, you'd be obedient. If you had a good attitude toward your kids' parents, you wouldn't provoke them to wrath. If we had a good attitude, we would do the things that God's Word says that we're supposed to do. Attitude is everything. You know, Christ talked about the law. He says, you know, you said the law says thou art not kill, but if you hate your brother, it's the same thing. See, if we have bad thoughts, if we have bad attitudes, we're not going to fulfill God's Word. This morning I want to preach on our attitude in revival. Because our attitude towards revival is essential to have revival. We need to have a good attitude towards it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for this time. Father, help us, Lord, to have the proper attitude towards you. And Father, towards revival. Father, I pray that you bind Satan on our behalf. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will have full reign. Father, I pray that you just take away all distractions and all wrong thoughts. And Father, we just bring them in captivity of you. Help us, Lord, pay attention to your truth today and let your truth change our lives. Lord, we thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at Isaiah chapter 57, verses 15 through 18 as a kickoff passage. But we're going to be looking at most of the chapter today because 15 to 18 talks about God's answer to Israel's problem. And in verse 15 it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever. Neither will I always be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me in the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetous was I wroth, and smote him." And here's what our lives can do, folks, to our relationship with God. Look at this next three words here. This is what turning your back on God will do. It says, "I hid me." Folks, revival is about leading people to Christ, but revival is about getting a clear perspective of God and seeing God again and let Him work in your life. "I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners." In a way of introduction, we need to understand, verse 16 tells us a fundamental truth about revival, that God wants revival sooner than later. He says, "For I will not contend forever." The second thing that we've already talked about when we started this series on revival is about loving God. Because revival allows God's love to work. It puts God at the forefront. We need to understand that it's all about His love. It gives us salvation. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Herein is the love manifested, that ye love one another, that ye know that He is His disciples. Herein is love, not that we first loved Him, but that He first loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." It's all about love. And if God is all about love, revival is all about love too. God wants revival sooner than later. He wants His love to work in our lives. As we see here in verse 18, revival brings restoration. You know, the focus of revival is to lead people to Christ. But the other focus of revival is to make us more Christ-like. That should be the focus of every time we come to church, is to leave here more Christ-like. The focus of every day is to be more Christ-like. See, revival brings restoration. In verse 18, it says, I have seen his ways and will what? Heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. For chapter after chapter after chapter in Isaiah, God has been talking to a people that have turned their back on God. And he has chosen Isaiah to go and show them. And he's still pleading with them. So God wants revival sooner than later. Revival allows God's love to work. Revival brings restoration. But here's the deal. What's our attitude about revival? Well, first of all, an improper attitude will defeat any revival that we hope to have. It'll stop it in its tracks, and we won't have any victory at all. In Psalm chapter 101, verse 7, it says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. The first part of this chapter talks about all the things that God's people were doing, but they weren't loving God. And it was hindering their walk. It was defeating revival. And it says, and he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. See, a proper attitude is essential for revival. We started off on January 2nd with this series. And we see the psalmist say in Psalm 85, verse 6, it says, wilt thou not revive us again? See, the issue is that we need to understand that we need revival periodically. We need to get revived every day. We need to be more like him every day. And we need to ask God today, will thou not revive us again? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Well, I want to focus on two things this morning. I want to focus on what an improper attitude does for revival, or to squelch it, and then what the proper attitude does. There are four improper attitudes that will defeat revival. Look up in verse 1. The first one is, indifference will not bring revival. In verse 1 it says, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. Last Sunday night we preached out of Malachi chapter 2. And God's telling the priest, he says, this commandment's for you. You need to hear, but you won't lay it to heart. Folks, sometimes we hear things and we don't listen. And we don't lay it to heart. It says, the righteous perish and no man layeth it to heart. The merciful man are taken away. None considereth that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. People would just rather live in the evil world instead of being ready for eternity. Verse 2 talks about what happens to the righteous. He will find rest. What happens to the ones that live in the evil way and is evil? They will die in their sins. You know, we cannot be indifferent to people. If we're indifferent, it will cause us not to witness. If we're indifferent, it'll cause us not to have fellowship. If we're indifferent, we won't help those that are lonely. We won't help those that have needs. Every weekend, I go out in the parking lot on Saturday afternoon, and I have a sign up that says, prayer pastor available, or got questions. And I learned a lesson yesterday. The lesson was, is that up to this point, people drive by and they wave at me, and I would wave back. If you didn't wave at me, I didn't wave at you. But you know, that's not what God wants. We had just gone down to this downtown and put out tracts and literature in the morning, and we need to give it to everybody. And so I can't be indifferent about the ones who can't wave or who won't wave. So I started waving for everybody. And you know something? More people wave back. You know, the issue is we need to understand that we cannot be indifferent. Because indifference will not bring revival. You know, the reality of it is this fact. We want God to care when we will not. We want God to do things, but we want to do our own thing. That will not bring revival.
No.
The first thing is indifference will not bring revival. Have you ever been in a store and you've seen some young child arguing with their parents about not doing what the parent wanted to do, throwing a temper tantrum in the hallway or whatever the case may be? You see it in school. Hey, adults do it too in the workplace. And what happened when you were mad at somebody? You went, Okay. Here's a second part. Insolence will not bring revival. Insolence is basically denying authority, looking down on people, saying, I'm better than you. I don't need you. Folks, we need unity in the church. Amen. We can't have revival unless there's unity in the church. In verse 4, it says here, against whom? God's asking a question. He says, against whom do ye sport yourselves? Again, and look at this next phrase. Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? I'm not going to do it, God. And an attitude, I'm not going to be a friend to that person. I'm not going to help when I need to be helped, when there's things that need to be done. I'm not going to do it, God. You can't make me do it. You're not going to have revival. We're not going to have revival. Said, make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue. Are ye not children of transgression? A seed of what? Falsehood. And basically, we saw in that first verse in Psalm 101 that if you're lying, you're not going to be in the presence of God, not going to be in the house of God. I could do anything for him. See, insolence will not bring revival. Here's the point. We want God to work. Not when we won't. We want God to work when we won't reverence him. We won't see him high and lifted up. We won't see him as the holy God, the creator of the world, my Savior. We thumb our nose when we at his love. And we don't love him back. Insolence will not bring revival. Indifference will not bring revival. And the third one is idolatry will not bring revival either. In verses 5 and 8, see, God's laying out these things and he says, hey, this is what you need to do down in verse 15. I am God. I'll revive the humble. I'll revive the contrite. You're not it. You're not doing it. And the third thing is because you've got idols in your life. In verses 5 and 8, inflaming yourselves. You know, when we want something, we'll consume ourselves to get it. Oh, that we would do that for God.
Amen.
Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree. Boy, when we want something, we'll do it everywhere. We're supposed to preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Slaying the children in the valleys on the cliffs of the rocks. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. You want to worship rocks? That's what you get. Okay? Even to them that has poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a high and lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. That's where you really want to be. Where do you really want to be this morning, folks? Okay? Upon a high and lofty they have set thy bed. Even thither wentest thou up to offer what? Sacrifice. And here's the key. You know, we can come here to church and we can look straight, right? But what do we do when we're out of here? What do we do when we're out of here? Behind the doors. Also in the post thou hast set up thy remembrance. Remembers who? Not God. Not God. For thou hast discovered thyself. You've made yourself naked. You've laid your soul bare to them. Well, you should be surrendered to me. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me. And art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed. And made you made room for more. And made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. Folks, we need to get idolatry out of our life if we want revival.
Right.
See, the problem is we want God to work when we let other things get in the way of serving Him. Revival is going to take effort.
Yes.
Revival is going to take resources. Revival is going to take our time. Do we really want it? Or are we indifferent to the world that's lost and going to hell? Or do you say, I just don't really want to do it, God. I know you're telling me to do it, but I'm not listening. Or, no, I have too much to give up in order to do it. Look at what Christ gave up for you. Go look at the cross. And understand He loved you that much. Shouldn't we give our lives for Him? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou done for me?
Amen.
So, indifference will defeat revival. Insolence will not bring revival. Idolatry will not bring revival. And then the last thing that God was talking about here is indulgence will not bring revival either. In verses 9 through 12, it says, And thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes. Not only did they go, but they actually went with more. And did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art weary in the greatness of thy way. You know, we spend all of our effort to improve ourselves, and we say, we got such a great task in front of us. But God's nowhere in it. Our country's like that today. We have all these problems to solve. But where's God, folks?
Right.
Where's God in our thought process? It says, Thou art weary in the greatness of the way, yet thou sayest, there is no hope. See, we need to realize that what we're doing without God is worthless. Only God can provide hope. He's the God of all hope. Thou hast found the life of thy hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or fear that thou hast lied? And is what? Not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart. Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? See, God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But He says, I will not contend forever. Folks, revival needs to come sooner than later. Not on to a more convenient day. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
And so what will God show about our lives? He says, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works. Everybody read this one. For they shall not profit thee. For they shall not profit thee. See, what's happened here is indulgence ask this. We want God to work, but we are only concerned about how it's going to benefit me. What do I get out of it? You know, we don't make any deal unless I get something out of it. Folks, look at what God's done for us. I want all of Him and less of me. John the Baptist said, He must increase, and I must decrease. So see, indifference will not bring revival. Insolence will not bring revival. Idolatry will not bring revival. Indulgence will not bring revival. That was the problem Laodicean church. So in verse 15, we see God reviving two attitudes. The first one is God will revive the humble. God will revive the humble. See, God is opposed to those who oppose Him. The ones who are insolent. The ones who stick out your tongue. Okay? But humility removes God's opposition. In Psalm 138, verse 6, it says, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. You know, we sing all these songs, I'm such a worm as I. Who am I but just a worm? Paul says, he says, God came to save sinners, of which I am chief. We need to put our perspective where it really needs to go, in God's standard. So though the low be high, yet He hath respect in the lowly, for He is for the but the proud He knoweth afar off. He sees you. He wants to come back and heal you. He wants you to come back to Him. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You want God's grace today? God's grace is God's power, folks. We need to be humble. Because as long as we're not humble, we're opposing God. Humility removes God's opposition. Humility requires our operation. It requires our choice. It requires our effort. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, put on therefore every day, not just once, every day, will you not revive us again? Every day. The inward man is renewed day by day. It says, but on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. See, we have to do it. See, this is an imperative sentence. You put on therefore as the elect of God. Here's the key, folks. You can't do it in your strength. You have to be the elect of God. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you die today, would you go to heaven? Is that something you say you're still working on? If you say you're still working on, you don't know for sure. You're not going. I know where I'm going. And everyone who knows Christ as their Savior knows the truth. Oh, we need to put on as the elect of God. This is what God expects us to do. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. You feel like you're in a hole and you can't get out. Feel that everything's against you and that there's no way out. There is a way out. It's up. And Christ does that. And Christ does that. See, humility removes God's opposition to the proud. Humility requires our operation. We're supposed to humble ourselves. We're supposed to put it on. We're supposed to do this and let God work in our lives. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come into him. Oh, let Jesus come into your heart today. Lastly, humility results in right standing. Go back to verse 15 here. In chapter 57, it says this. He says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. But look at the next phrase. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. You want God to dwell with you? This is what's required.
Right.
Humility. God will revive the humble. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Isn't it time, Christian? Isn't it time, church? Isn't it time to do the right thing? Isn't it time for God to restore us? Isn't it time for us to be revived? He's not going to contend with us much longer. God will revive the humble. The second thing here is, He says in verse 15, He says He will revive the heart of the contrite ones. See, God will revive the contrite. To be contrite means to be crushed. The word for being contrite means to take a rock and crush it into nothing. We need to understand that in God's presence we're nothing. God made us, but we have no power on our own. For without me you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. See, being contrite, being surrendered, being attentive to what God wants, being where God wants us to be, will bring us near to God. Remember, last week we had the prison revival. And we had two Christians that really prayed. We had two Christians that had the right attitude, and two Christians that were in the right place, and two Christians that basically had the right message, and it brought revival. See, they didn't get mad because they were in prison. They said, God's going to use this in a mighty way. God can use all of us in a mighty way. We need to be surrendered to Him. See, Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh. I just don't feel God's closest anymore. Let Him break you. Let Him break you. All those who have been in the military, you've all gone to basic training. What is the whole purpose of basic training? Take away everything that you knew about the world. All gone. And then build you back up. Build you back up. That's what God wants. He wants to take everything that you are. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. All things become. You know, it takes who you are and crush you and start over. The Lord is nigh unto him that of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. See, being contrite brings us near to God. Being contrite makes us acceptable to God. See, we're not going to have revival until what we do is acceptable to God. Israel was not going to be delivered unless what they did was acceptable to God. Indifference is not acceptable to God. Insolence is not acceptable to God. Idolatry is not acceptable to God. Indulgence is not acceptable to God. And he comes back here and he says, hey, you need to understand who I am. Psalm chapter 51, verse 17. David writes, he says, the sacrifices of God are a what? Broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. See, you want God to look down on you and not despise what you're doing? Have a contrite heart. Yes. Being contrite brings us near to God. Being contrite makes us acceptable to God. And lastly, being contrite brings the favor of God. Early in the introduction, we use Psalm 85, verse 6. Verse 1 of that psalm says, the Lord has favored the land. The Lord has favored the land. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, he says, for all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But, when God says something, it says, but, we need to listen to it. But, to this man will I look. Do you want to be this man? You want to be this woman? You want to be this child? But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a what? Poor and or humble and contrite heart or spirit, and trembleth at my word. See, if you tremble at God's word, you won't be insolent. If you are humble, you won't be indifferent. You won't be indulgent. See, being contrite brings the favor of God. Do you want the favor of God to be in your life today? I can't imagine anybody saying, no, I don't want any of that. That makes no sense. It makes no sense. Here's God's got this perfect gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is neither shadow or variableness of turning. Do we have a right attitude this morning? You know, before God tells, he says, I will revive the humble and I will revive the contrite. He gives a picture of who he is. And when we talked about revival in such a time, Isaiah, before he could go out and be the man that God wanted him to be, he had to get a view for God. Right. And he saw God high and lifted up. Folks, we need to see God high and lifted up. That'll bring revival. Because it'll take the idolatry out of life. It'll take the indifference out of our life. It'll take the indulgence out of our life. It'll take the insolence out. And he did the same thing here in verse 5. He says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and I'll also dwell with you if you're humble and you're contrite. Oh, do we have the right attitude this morning, folks? Do you know him as your Savior? If not, today will be the day. Do you know that there's things in your life that's going to squelch revival in your life? You need to get rid of that today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. And Father, just see what we need to do, Lord, and help us to be surrendered and contrite to you. Lord, we give you this time. We ask that your will be done. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.